Being able to access any memory, regardless of where it is stored, is what computer scientists call random access. DVDs and hard drives work this way. Videotapes do not. You can jump to any spot in a movie on a DVD or hard drive by pointing at it. But to get to a particular point in a videotape, you need to go through every previous point first. Sequential access. Our ability to randomly access our memory from multiple cues is especially powerful. Computer scientists call it relational memory. You may have heard of relational databases. That's effectively what human memory is. This is revisited in Chapter 3. Having relational memory means that if I want to get you to think of a fire truck, I can induce the memory in many different ways. I might make the sound of a siren, or give you a verbal description, a large red truck with ladders on the side that typically responds to a certain kind of emergency. I might try to trigger the concept by an association game, by asking you to name as many red things as you can in 1 minute. Most people come to fire truck in this game. Or to name as many emergency vehicles as you can. All of these things and more are attributes of the fire truck. Its redness, its emergency vehicleness, its siren, its size and shape, the fact that uniformed men and women are usually found riding both in and on it, that it is one of only a small subset of motor vehicles that carries a ladder around. If you just started thinking, at the end of that last sentence, what other vehicles carry ladders, for example, telephone company repair trucks or the vans belonging to window installers, roofers, and chimney sweeps, then you've come upon an important point. We can categorize objects in many and often seemingly infinite ways. And any one of those cues has its own route to the neural node that represents fire truck in your brain. Imagine the concept of fire truck as represented by a circle in the center of a drawing, a node corresponding to a cluster of neurons in the brain. That neuronal cluster is connected to other neuronal clusters that represent the different features or properties of fire truck. In the drawing, other concepts that are most closely associated with a fire truck and are retrieved from memory more quickly are shown closer to the fire truck node. In the brain, they may not actually be physically closer, but the neural connections are stronger, allowing for easier retrieval. Thus, the node containing the fact that a fire truck is red is closer than the one that says it sometimes has a separate steering wheel in the back. In addition to neural networks in the brain that represent attributes of things, those attributes are also connected associatively to other things. A fire truck is red, but we can think of many other things that are. Cherries, tomatoes, apples, blood, roses, parts of the American flag, and sun-made raisin boxes, for example. Did you ever wonder why, if someone asks you to name a bunch of red things, you can do it so quickly? It's because by concentrating on the thought, red, represented here by a neural node, you're sending electrochemical activation through the network and down the branches to everything else in your brain that connects to it. Thinking about one memory tends to activate other memories. This can be both an advantage and a disadvantage. If you're trying to retrieve a particular memory, the flood of activations can cause competition among different nodes, leaving you with a traffic jam of neural nodes trying to get through to consciousness, and you end up with nothing. The ancient Greeks sought to improve memory through brain training methods, such as memory palaces and the method of loci. At the same time, they and the Egyptians became experts at externalizing information, inventing the modern library, a grand repository for externalized knowledge. We don't know why these simultaneous explosions of intellectual activity occurred when they did. Perhaps daily human experience had hit a certain level of complexity. But the human need to organize our lives, our environment, even our thoughts remained strong. This need isn't simply learned, it is a biological imperative. Mammals organize their environments instinctively. Most animals are biologically programmed to put their digestive waste away from where they eat and sleep. Dogs have been known to collect their toys and put them in baskets. Ants carry off dead members of the colony to burial grounds. Certain birds and rodents create symmetrically organized barriers around their nests in order to more easily detect intruders.